Welcome to Since You Asked with Jim Barrier on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Send Jim your questions about the Bible and Christianity to jim@cgmradio.com. Subscribe to Since You Asked by visiting us online at cgmradio.com/ask. And now, here's your host, Jim Barrier.
Last week, my podcast was on the subject, What is Revival? And I gave some time to the event called the Asbury Revival. I also mentioned an event in the late 60s called the Jesus Movement. The recent film Jesus Revolution has hit the theaters, bringing a renewed interest in that event. The cover of Time Magazine's April 8, 1966 issue read, Is God Dead? By June 21, 1971, Time displayed a picture of Jesus with the title, The Jesus Revolution. That is where the film gets its name. The Book of Chronicles mentions the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times. In order to get perspective, I think it is good to understand the times that we are discussing. The Jesus Movement began in 1968. 1968 was a most turbulent year. The Vietnam War was the first war to be brought into our living rooms by television. In January, the Tet Offensive by North Vietnam and the Viet Cong against South Vietnam and U.S. forces was the largest military operation up to that point in the war. During the Battle of Saigon, Eddie Adams photographed the execution of a Viet Cong prisoner by South Vietnamese Brigadier General Lone, who drew his sidearm and shot the prisoner in the head. The image shocked many Americans. Also in January, North Korea captured the USS Pueblo, abusing and torturing her crew. There were civil rights marches, protests of the war, and the push for nuclear disarmament. By the way, that peace symbol that everyone knows started out as the symbol for nuclear disarmament. In March, civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. Less than 2 months later, presidential candidate Bobby Kennedy was assassinated. In August, the Chicago Seven, including Abby Hoffman and Jerry Rubin, were accused of inciting riots at the 1968 Democratic National Convention in Chicago. In the October Olympic Games in Mexico City, track and field medal winners Tommy Smith and John Carlos were the center of controversy for their raised fist salute, which was a symbol of black power and the human rights movement in general. The cult film Wild in the Streets was released, about a revolution led by rock star Max Frost, whose band The Troopers included drummer Stanley X, played by Richard Pryor. Max pushes for the voting age to be lowered to 14. He becomes president and makes 30 the mandatory age of retirement and rounds up everyone over 35 to be put in re-education camps. The film ends with a preteen challenging Max with, "We're going to put everybody over 10 out of business." Okay, it was silly, but it made a point. Young people were disillusioned with the establishment. The Beatles released the song Revolution in August, which John Lennon said he thought was au courant. Then it happened, the Jesus Revolution. Christian musician Dennis Agajanian believes it all started at Hollywood First Presbyterian in 1968. Hollywood First Press, as they called it, is three blocks from the legendary Hollywood and Vine. It was home to Henrietta Mears, who mentored Bill Bright and counseled Billy Graham and authored the Christian classic What the Bible is All About. It is no surprise that seeds sown by that great teacher gave birth to one of the greatest movements in church history. In August of 1968, the church opened a coffee house called Salt Company for young people who might not attend the traditional Sunday morning service. The house band was also called Salt Company. They played mainly folk music. That coffee house became a launchpad for Larry Norman, who was often called the godfather of Christian rock, Randy Stonehill, and Dennis Agajanian. The film Jesus Revolution centers around three individuals, Greg Laurie, Lonnie Frisbee, and Chuck Smith, who was pastor at Calvary Chapel. The same type of movement was taking place there. In 1970, Chuck Gerrard, Tommy Coombs, Jay Truax, and Fred Field started the band Love Song. Many consider them to be the first Christian rock and roll band. Chuck Gerrard had been in the Hondells, who had hits with Little Honda and Younger Girl. In 1971, Chuck Smith founded Maranatha Music, which produced records by Love Song, Blessed Hope, Sweet Comfort Band, Children of the Day, The Way, Debbie Kerner, Mustard Seed Faith, Karen Lafferty, and Daniel Amos. Calvary Chapel became one of the largest church movements in the country. Greg Laurie went on to start Harvest Christian Fellowship and Harvest Crusades. Secular artists like Barry McGuire, Phil Keaggy, Dion DiMucci, Johnny Rivers, B.J. Thomas, and Paul Stuckey of Peter, Paul, and Mary announced their faith and began releasing Christian music. The Jesus movement brought millions of young people into the kingdom of God. It began to incorporate youth culture into evangelical churches, and one of the results was the formation of contemporary Christian music and modern praise and worship music. Even on secular radio, songs like Spirit in the Sky, My Sweet Lord, Oh Happy Day, and Jesus is Just All Right with Me topped the charts. Musicals Godspell and Jesus Christ Superstar were so popular they were made into films. And even if many of those artists weren't Christians and the theology was off, spiritual messages became marketable. It was okay to talk about Jesus. Celebrities claimed to be born again. Even Jimmy Carter pronounced he was born again while running for president. Other notable figures of the movement include Dwayne Peterson, the creator of the Hollywood Free Paper, which was a Christian answer to the L.A. Free Press. Jack Sparks, founder of Christian World Liberation Front in Berkeley. He was backed by Campus Crusade for Christ. Arthur Blessett, a Sunset Strip street preacher who became famous for carrying a cross across the USA. He has been credited with leading George W. Bush to Jesus. And one of my favorites was Holy Hubert, a voice crying in the wilderness. He preached at Sproul Plaza in Berkeley during the free speech movement. His tagline was, "Bless your dirty heart." The Jesus movement spread to college campuses around the country, including the 1970 Asbury College Revival in Wilmore, Kentucky. In June of 72, Campus Crusade put on Expo 72 in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl. It was dubbed the Christian Woodstock and had over 100,000 in attendance. It featured several of the artists I mentioned earlier, and Billy Graham even spoke there. I became a Christian in August of 1968. I made several visits to Hollywood First Press, including a March for Jesus event down Hollywood Boulevard. I attended beach baptisms, went to Christian concerts, and even played in a couple of Christian bands. I lived in a Christian house ministry. I even tried my hand at street preaching, not for the faint of heart. I attended a church during those days that began with 12 members. By the time I got there, it was already running 200. Young people with long hair and casual dress were coming to Christ. One night at a baptism service, young people began running down to the front crying, "I want to be baptized. I want to be a Christian." 60 kids became Christians that night. That church grew to over 3,500 people on Sundays. Last week I mentioned elements that are trademarked to revival. Let's look at the Jesus movement in this light. Revival usually comes at a time of moral and spiritual decline. That was America in 1968. The collective morale of that generation was one of disillusionment, discouragement, and despair. It was expressed in the music, Blown in the Wind, Eve of Destruction, Ball of Confusion, War, I Can't Get No Satisfaction, and the anthem, My Generation, I Hope I Die Before I Get Old. It was reflected in the films of that era. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, Bonnie and Clyde, Cool Hand Luke, The Sand Pebbles, Easy Rider, all ended with the protagonists being killed. Drug use was common. The sexual revolution produced STDs and unwanted pregnancies. Divorce was increasing and broken families became common. Kids were dropping out of school and running away from home. And then the people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. And those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. Revival begins with God's people. The Jesus movement began when pastors and churches opened their doors to kids with long hair and no shoes and no knowledge of theology or hymns. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And as my Father has sent me, I also send you. Revival is a response of the Holy Spirit to the spiritual hunger of men and women. My generation was starving spiritually. And it shall come to pass in the last days, God says, that I shall pour out my Spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will have dreams. And even on my male and female servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Revival is a result of people praying. Before the outpouring in Acts chapter 2, 120 people gathered in the upper room to pray. Early on, as young people were coming to Jesus, they began praying for their friends. A schoolmate of mine who went to a local church said to me, Jim, I'm praying for you. Save your breath, I told him. There's no one there to hear you. A few months later, he was there when I got baptized at a youth camp held by his church. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Revival produces conviction, confession, and repentance. I remember seeing scores of young people turning from their sins. A band I was in was invited to sing at a chapel service at Naval Training Center in San Diego. In the middle of a song, young sailors began coming forward to repent and accept Jesus as their Savior. One friend of mine, who was a known drug user and dealer, went home and flushed all of his drugs down the toilet. He knew he couldn't follow the Lord and keep using. Therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Revival is founded on the Word of God. Bible studies were being held not just in churches, but in homes, at schools, in the marketplace. I began attending a Bible study in a home a couple of months before I accepted Christ. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall do what I desire and accomplish the purpose which I have sent it. Revival will bear fruit. The Jesus movement produced millions of converts. Ministries were born that still thrive today. Christian music as well as worship service were profoundly changed. Lives like mine were never the same. Many of my peers were called into full-time ministry as pastors and missionaries and workers in parachurch organizations. Jesus told his disciples, "I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." When I look at today's world, I see similar conditions. The institutions of marriage and the family are greatly threatened. Sexual perversion is no longer reserved for dark rooms. It is flaunted and celebrated. People live in fear of nuclear war, economic collapse, cyber terrorism, man-made viruses, and crime in their streets. Drug use is worse than in the 60s. Racism is at an all-time high. Child abuse and human trafficking are epidemic. The music of today is often vulgar. Rolling Stone magazine, BBC, and National Public Radio declared WAP by Cardi B Song of the Year in 2020. It is so vulgar that I can't even tell you what WAP stands for, much less quote the lyrics. One of the most popular themes in film is a dystopian future. There is little hope. Oh, we are ripe for revival. The great revivalist Leonard Ravenhill said, "The only reason we don't have revival is because we are willing to live without it." Once again, I will close with Habakkuk's prayer. "Lord, I have heard the report about you, and I stand in awe. Lord, revive your work in our day. In our time, make it known."
Since You Asked is a production of Jim Barrier and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/ask.